Listen now for the Word of God as I read a portion of the Good Friday narrative from the 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 32 through 43. Two others also who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him: "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me begin this morning with a question. If you had been present at Jesus' crucifixion, where would you have been? With the soldiers? So hardened and callous that as he hung dying there, you were so bored that you invented a diversion to while away the hours, rolling dice for his clothes? With the crowd who stood by out of curiosity or out of morbid fascination watching? After all, you don't get to see a crucifixion every day. With the rulers scoffing, undermining, ridiculing? Or perhaps it was your job to nail up the sign that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Or were you among the followers who had run away to hide because you knew your own life was in danger? After all, self-preservation is the first rule of life. Or were you among the women who had followed him all the way from Galilee and who stood at a distance and watched in shocked disbelief? Was this really happening? Or did you, like the two evildoers, the two bad actors, the two criminals, hang alongside him, feeling in your own body the pain, the nails, the shame, the torture of crucifixion? And did you, like the one, rail at him? If this is what the world is like, if God made men and women to suffer as I suffer, if God stacked the deck against me since the day I was born, I want no part of you, Messiah, Son of God. You can't save us. You can't even save yourself. Or did you, like the other thief, Look at a poor dying man stripped of all his power and charisma that he had shown during his ministry, during his healing, and watch him there nailed to the cross. And did you take his side over against your old buddy, your fellow criminal? And did you say the most unlikely, extravagant, preposterous words that were perhaps ever spoken on our planet? Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. A number of years ago, there was a cartoon in a magazine that pictured two men in rags, emaciated, unshaven, chained hands and feet to the wall of a dungeon, utterly powerless, completely immobilized, and one says to the other, "Psst, this is our plan." A minister points out that we recognize the absurdity of it all. We feel sort of a wry admiration for the human spirit that will not stay down, that keeps planning and scheming until all plans and all schemes are pointless. And just so absurd is the word which the dying thief addressed to another dying man, nailed, powerless, immobilized. Perhaps it is true that he could have come down from the cross. Perhaps it is true that he could have summoned a legion of angels to destroy all his foes, but he is not going to do that. He is going to hang there and die, condemned, executed, disgraced, waiting simply for death to take him. And he knows that's what he's going to do, and the thief knows that's what he's going to do, and yet the thief says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." The great Scottish preacher, Alexander White, and by the way, it's always a good idea to quote a Scottish preacher in a Presbyterian sermon, says this about that thief. The thief was a greater believer than Abraham, the father of believers, greater than David, greater than Isaiah. Truly, Peter, James, and John, with all their privileges and opportunities, are not worthy to be named in the same breath as this thief. All faith and hope in Christ were dead. As dead as stone in Peter and John's heart, and Mary Magdalene herself, with all her love, had given him up as forever dead. But not this thief. It was at the very darkest hour this world has ever seen or ever will see that this thief's faith flashed up brighter than the midday sun. Penitent thief, you see, was the only believer left. Now let me be clear here. There were others who still loved Jesus, even in the midst of his defeat. Mary, his mother, and the beloved disciple hung in there with him. Joseph of Arimathea saw to it that he had a proper burial. The women, for love, prepared spices for the preservation of his body. They loved him, and great will be their reward. But this thief still believed. I believe, that is, I trust, that's at the heart of belief or faith. I trust that you will come into your kingdom, and when you do, remember me. He was the only believer left. And he was also the only comfort to our dying Lord. Again, let me quote Alexander White. Our Lord never, all his life, got such a surprise as he got on the cross that day. Not from Peter, not from the Syrophoenician women, not from the centurion, not from Mary Magdalene. As he got that day on the cross from the thief who hung beside him. Now that God apparently had abandoned him, now that he is so absolutely deserted and so awfully alone, it is this thief's faith and love and hope that is such a cup of cold water to our Lord's fast sinking heart. And so to this thief's astonishing faith is given an equally astonishing promise. Today you will be with me in paradise. Yes, in the new heaven and the new earth, where the dwelling of God is with humanity, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, because all the former things have passed away. But Lord, is that not to be found at the end of time? Centuries and millennia from now? Yes, that is right. But faith like the thief's, leaps the millennia, seizes the reward instantly, today. Friends, the hope of every Christian funeral is rooted in the faith of this thief. You see, we commonly divide humanity into two groups. The good folks and the bad folks. The decent folk and the criminals. And there is, of course, some meaning in those designations. Some people are clearly morally better than others. There is such a thing as crime, and its potential victims need to be protected, and its perpetrators need to be brought to justice. But at the foot of the cross, that division is not the final important division. For let's be frank, all of us, in some way, shape, or form, sin. We do those things we should not do, or don't do those things we should do. We have thoughts that are not always pleasing to God. Paul puts it this way: all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the most important distinction between the two is the distinction between the two thieves, points out the minister Al Wynn. All humanity lines up behind one or the other. Those on one side make fun of God's love, make fun of God's strategy of weakness, of God's self-giving and grace. They don't believe that kind of thing can ever win in the face of the powers and rulers of this world. Those on the other side, when the way of God seems most absurd, most weak, most fragile, most powerless, most defeated, stand by God like that one thief and believe. Trust. Now, I began this sermon with a question this morning, and I want to end it with another question. And it may be perhaps one of the most important questions, if not the most important question, you and I are ever asked. Behind which thief do you line up? Amen.